You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This year, our Siddurim might not look like our Seder looked last year, and the way our Seder will look next year. And we have to sort of begin realizing that even though we have a certain image in our minds of what a Seder should be, could be, would be, Hashem might not want that to be the way our Seder looks this year. Hashem wants us to be safe. Hashem wants us to take care of our bodies. Hashem wants us to take care of ourselves. Hashem wants our children to take care of their parents, even if it means that their parents shouldn't be with them. And Hashem wants the parents to make sure that they are able to be there in good health and strength for their grandchildren in many years to come with Gesundheit. And therefore, people are going to have to begin contemplating what their Seder will look like realistically this year. Now, there's one possibility that might alleviate the situation that is only from today, that is only applicable for the next day or so. I understand from the medical community that if a child wants to go to their parent, who's, let's say, over 60 and is not supposed to be with younger people, that child could quarantine themselves completely for 14 days. So let's say you're over 60 and you're going to be at home for the Seder with you alone, or you and your wife alone, or your wife and your husband alone, without any children. But you have a child, and it's going to be hard if there are a bunch of kids, because that's a little bit more difficult. But if there's a child or a mature couple, and they want to be with their parents, and that child quarantines completely for 14 days and does not have any contact with another human being, that means someone else is doing their shopping, not just the grandparents, but the parents also. Then there's a possibility, if a person is in full quarantine for 14 days and they know that they have not contracted anything and they do not exhibit any symptoms on their own, that might be a possibility for them to be with their older parents. Again, those are details. If you need more details, you could be in touch with me personally, you know, over the next few days. But that's something that if you do want to consider that, you basically have to start that quarantine around today, around tomorrow. It's already 14 days before the Seder night. I would like now to share with you some general perspectives about being in the, you know, the situation that we find ourselves, which is not what we typically assume, and we like to see ourselves as vibrant, active, independent, and now all of a sudden people who are vibrant and active and independent have to, you know, limit for a few weeks, hopefully, their independence, their vibrancy, and their activity. I noticed that as I walked to shul this evening to give this shiur in my office, because at home the kids are making noise and I figured it would be quieter in shul. That's why I came to give this shiur in shul. I noticed to myself that this was the first time at 8:30 p.m. And as I was walking to shul, the first time I left my house that day. I don't remember the last time, you know, that happened to me, that I didn't leave my house for an entire day. Who knows what, you know, until 8 o'clock at night, you know, Baruch Hashem, we should all be healthy, you know, and this should be a very short term situation that we find ourselves in. But let me share with you a thought, some Divrei Torah, to hopefully give ourselves some chizuk to have the right perspective of being in this situation where is our Yeshua going to come from? If we don't, there's no vaccine yet, there's no cure yet. We don't know what's happening in China, in Italy, Spain. We don't know where things are going. How does a Jew look at this situation? So I would like to share with you some very important perspectives, especially since we don't have the tefillah with a minyan. And that just, again, strikes us harder than anything else. We can't daven with a minyan. We so much want to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a minyan, and we can't. I want to tell you something more important than davening with a minyan. And if we understand that, what's more important than davening with a minyan, I think we could gain a lot of chizuk and reassurance the circumstance that we find ourselves in communally, personally, of course, and communally, for ourselves, our families, and for Klal Yisrael. What halacha is more important than davening with a minyan? The halacha being somech geula letfila. That means that when you say, finish birchas kriya shema, both in the morning and in the evening at Ma'ariv, and you say baruch atah Hashem Klal Yisrael, certainly in the morning, immediately you have to start with Hashem slotai tiftach and begin your shemona esrei of shachris. You can't even answer amen. That's why the Chazan, of course, when he gets up to, approaches Shemona Esrei, he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, many Chazanim, many Baalei Tefillah, say the last two words, Gal Yisrael, silently, so nobody will answer Amen. You're not allowed to answer Amen. You're not allowed to be Mafsik. and the importance of not being mafsik between Geula and Tefillah, between Gal Yisrael and the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, is more important than davening with a minyan. So that means, for example, I'll give you a very practical situation. Let's say you're davening and you come through a little bit late, and you started Birchas Kriya Shema a little bit later than everybody else. Should you cut your Birchas Kriya Shema in half and jump to start Tefillah B'Tzibur and jump to start Shemoneh Esrei with the rest of the Tzibur? No. We know that a lot of you continue to finish Birchas Kriya Shema on your own because it's more important to finish Gal Yisrael and then juxtapose it to Shemoneh Esrei than to daven and to begin Shemoneh Esrei with the minyan. Let's understand why that is. So the Gemara in Brachos tells us that somebody who is Someh Geula L'Tefillah is Zocha to become a Ben Olam Haba. So there's something chashuv, there's some message here in being Someh Geula L'Tefillah, juxtaposing Gal Yisrael, and remembering that Hashem saved us at Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the Bracha, Gal Yisrael. Gal Yisrael is in past tense. In Shemoneh Esrei, we say Goel Yisrael. That's one of the Brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. That means Hashem continually saves us from all the troubles presently. But Ga'al Yisrael, before Shemoneh Esrei, is that Hashem has saved us when we were at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is that message of Ga'al Yisrael so important as the context to open up Shemoneh Esrei with? And I'd like to share with you what Rashi says, and then one other pshat, which will be our focus. Rashi says that when we are Someh Geula L'Tefillah, you know what's happening? If you want to ask a favor from somebody, and you remind themselves how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, how much you think highly of them, how close you feel to them, well, in that context, guess what? When you ask for whatever you want to ask for, lahavdil, you butter somebody up, and then you ask for something, there's a greater chance of getting whatever you're asking for. And that's what Rashi says. Rashi quotes a Yerushalmi who makes this point, that you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by telling him how great he is. He did a geula, he saved Klal Yisrael. And once we speak like that, then Hashem will be more ready to answer the tefillos that we're about to utter in our Shemoneh Esrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be more willing, kivayachol, to respond to the bakasho, to the request that we're supplicating him in our Shemoneh Esrei. In other words, saying Gal Yisrael adjacent to Shemoneh Esrei is very practical and very pragmatic, because it will make your Shemoneh Esrei more powerful and yield better results from your requests. But I wanted to share with you and finish with an incredibly different approach, and that's the approach of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary on the Rif in the back of the Gemara in Brachos, I might have mentioned this once in shul over the past few years, says something absolutely incredible. And he describes a scene, and I think this is a scene that some of us might see ourselves in. You have to picture Klal Yisrael looking behind them as Mitzrayim is racing after them, and looking in front of them with the Yamsuf smack in front of them. Now, they're stuck literally between a rock and a hard place. They can't go back because Mitzrayim is with all their chariots and all their warriors are running after them. And in front of them is an ocean. They didn't know that there's something called the Kriyas Yamsuf to consider or to even daven for. They knew one thing. They have no options and no way to get out of the situation that they find themselves. There is no solution. It's not that it's a difficult situation. It's not that it's a horrible situation, it's an impossible situation. And what did Klal Yisrael do in that impossible situation? They called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know what to do. We have no Eitzah, we have no solutions. But you know what? We're in your hands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You figure it out. Please save us. And all of a sudden, something that no one ever heard of, no one ever imagined in a million years, not one Jew out of the 600,000 men between 20 and 50 even imagined the possibility of a sea splitting before their eyes and allowing Klal Yisrael through. What began as a lose-lose, desperate predicament that had no rational solution ends up becoming the greatest geula, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the most evident in all of history. What an incredible climax to the situation that Klal Yisrael found themselves in. right as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating Klal Yisrael, listen to this point, the moment that we are, that those first delicate moments of our nationhood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us what an incredible, powerful lesson that we have to carry with us all of our lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that when you have nothing to rely on and no way out, realize you're in Hashem's hands. Realize Hashem takes care of us. Realize that Hashem runs the world. Hashem takes care of us. There's no situation, however desperate it seems, in which a Jew is helpless. When do we say that? When we say, Baruch atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, we are realizing that we are completely in Hashem's hands. Now, when we realize that we're in Hashem's hands, and we walk in to daven, to Shemona Esrei, and ask whatever we need from Hashem, it's not our way of buttering up Hashem to get more. It's not pragmatic, like Rashi was saying, that if we make Hashem, you know, praise Hashem and say, oh, you're great, you saved us, you're going to answer our tefillahs better. No. It's our own recognition that every situation that we find ourselves in, the answer will come from Hashem. That will be what our Shemona Esrei, that Shemona Esrei that we'll say in that context is a totally different Shemona Esrei. Because I'm putting myself in Hashem's hands. Hashleich al Hashem Yehavcha v'hu yechalkalecha. Don't worry about figuring out the answers. Don't worry how you're going to take care of this and that. Realize we're in Hashem's hands. We could thrust ourselves. We could throw ourselves into His embrace, and He will take care of us. How? I don't know. And I don't have to know. Because I'm not God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and He'll do what He has to do to take care of us and to provide for us, as He always has. And in all the situations Klal Yisrael have been in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always took care of us, and that's why we're here. And that tefillah that a person says, of being so mekula the tefillah, that tefillah, with trust, with confidence, realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could redeem us in any and every situation, is definitely the kind of tefillah that will make us a Ben Olam Haba. And that's why somebody who's so mekula the tefillah is a Ben Olam Haba. That perspective is more important than davening with a minyan. So my dear friends, I don't know if you all daven Marav, if you're going to daven Marav now, and it's not going to be Betzibur, unfortunately, and tomorrow morning you're going to daven Shacharis, and unfortunately it probably won't be Betzibur. Realize, as you're about to approach Shemona Esrei, that you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, realize that just like Hashem saved the Egyptians, saved us when we were in a lose-lose situation with no solution in sight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu figured out what to do. As we daven Shemona Esrei, it's no different for any of us, for Klal Yisrael in any generation. We're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, and He's going to provide for us, and He'll take care of us. And just to close, as Nathan Sharansky, as I opened up with the words of Nathan Sharansky, let's not worry about things that are not in our control. Let's focus on things that we can do. Let's make a proper use of taking advantage of all the time that we are at home. Again, take up projects, if it's going through your albums, if it's cleaning out that closet or getting rid of those shoes that you've had in the back of your closet for 17 years and you haven't worn since, and you're wondering, when am I going to have time? Now we have time to do all those things. If you wanted to learn Ramban on the Parsha, if you wanted to do Shtayim Mikra with Rashi, you never had a chance, and now you have time. Take advantage of this week. Take advantage of what might be next week. And we'll make the best of the situation that we find ourselves with. Because that's all Hashem wants from us.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.